You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
You ready for the word this morning? Luke chapter 8. In verse 40, it says, "So it was that when Jesus returned, the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. He was the ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood 12 years spent all she had, her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came behind and touched the border of his garment. Immediately her flow of blood stopped. Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes throng and press you, but you say, who touched me?' Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me.' Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace.' While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, 'Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher.' But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, 'Do not be afraid, only believe.'" Those words still echo into eternity, don't they? "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." When he came to the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all who wept and mourned for her. But he said, "Do not weep." I'll read that again, verse 52. "Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, 'Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping.' And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand and called, saying, 'Little girl, arise.' Then her spirit returned and she arose immediately. He commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished. He charged them not to tell anyone what had happened." So often you'll hear a message from this passage talking about the woman with the issue of blood getting healed by touching the hem of the garment of Jesus. But bookending that miracle is a whole different story and a whole different perspective on that miracle. But this miracle is actually a bigger miracle in terms of the gravity of what God did. It was a major miracle. It was a resurrection. It was literally a child who had died, and Jesus raises her to life. And this story is so powerful because this man Jairus didn't just see a miracle for his daughter, but he had to wrestle with everything that was coming against him to stop him from staying in faith to believe in God for a miracle. See, miracles don't happen by accident. Miracles happen because faith is present and God does something supernatural. When you and I have faith and believe God and take him at his word and say, "God, I know you can, but I also believe that you will," that's when we start to see miracles start to happen. If I was to talk to anybody who believes in God, we all believe that God can. We all believe that God can bless. We all believe that God can make an impossible situation come good. We all believe that God can bring provision and blessing and freedom. Freedom from lack and freedom from sickness. We believe he can. We know he can. But faith doesn't just believe he can. Faith believes that he will in the name of Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I know we serve a God who can, but I've met him. I've read about him. He's not just a God who can. He's a God who will. He's a God who'll calm a storm. He's a God that'll set a captive free. He's a God that'll deliver somebody from the power of Satan and bring him into the power of God. He's a blind eye healing, a water-walking, demon-destroying man. He'll turn things around by the power of the Holy Ghost. Do I have any friends in the house this morning that believe? Man, I can hear him shouting in Cardiff this morning. I can hear him shouting in Chester this morning. He can, but he's not only the God who can, he's the God who will. Oh, hallelujah. And so this man Jairus, he is facing the crisis of his life. His only girl, sick in her body, and not just sick, but at the point of death, needs a miracle. So Jairus, he goes and finds Jesus. I don't know what he heard. I don't know the testimonies, but he found Jesus and he goes to him, falls at his feet, and he says, you've got to come. You've got to come and heal my daughter. And Jesus said, no worries, let's go. And he heads to Jairus' house. I bet Jairus at this point is going, thank God I've got him. As long as I can just get him to the house. Let's go. Let's keep going. People are touching him and interrupting him. He's kicking them away. We'll bring him back. It's fine. I just need him right now. My situation's urgent. He takes him in. And then the next minute, a woman touches the hem of the garment of Jesus and Jesus stops. And then everything comes against Jairus. He gets told, your daughter's passed, man. It's not going to happen. And Jesus jumps in. He says, have faith, only believe. And Jairus, right there, he had a choice to make. Am I going to give up, or am I going to trust this Jesus, and am I going to stay in faith? I have discovered that when trials come, the best thing that we can do is, even when it doesn't make sense, stay in faith. Keep believing God. Keep trusting in His word. Oh, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. One word from God, man, you can stand on. And Jesus gave him a word. He declared, have faith, only believe, man. If Jesus has declared something, you can hold on to that word and believe God. Because His promises are yes and amen. And right here in this story, Jairus, I feel like everybody else is celebrating this woman's miracle, but poor old Jairus, her miracle's costing him. And he's having to work through a whole lot. He's having to carry a whole lot. This is, the stakes are high, man. He's having to deal with a whole lot of stuff. And for him to get the miracle, he had to fight to keep an atmosphere of faith around his life. And I want to encourage you, whether the situation's dire or whether you're in a season of blessing, I believe it's so important for us as believers to keep an atmosphere of faith in our home, in our family, in our business. Some of us jump into faith when there's a problem, but we should stay in faith in seasons of victory and blessing. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible says faith, it says a lot of things, and I forgot what one of them were, but it says in Hebrews chapter 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if faith is a substance, I want to get that substance in the best atmosphere for it to flourish and grow. So God, Jesus, wants to do a miracle, but He's taken Jairus on a journey of faith. Man, this guy's doing a class on how to walk by faith. In the most stressful class you've ever been to in your life. We do it easy. We teach faith. He's on a crash course of faith that he has no choice, but he has to keep that atmosphere of faith alive in his life. And this story is powerful because in the very end of it, Jesus says to her, arise. Or in another account, he says, Talitha Kumai, little girl, arise. He's still saying Talitha Kumai today. Little girl, arise. Young man, arise. Old man, older lady, arise. God's got resurrection power today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to look at this story for a minute because Jairus had four obstacles to faith right here. And he had to overcome four things to protect the atmosphere of faith in his world. The first obstacle, that he had to overcome was his own position. See, Jairus was the ruler of the synagogue. He had been taught from birth. His dad would have drummed into him, you do not bow to anybody. You don't, especially when you're the ruler of a synagogue, he's a big deal in the Jewish community. He's a Jewish leader. He's a man of authority and he's right there bowing at the feet of Jesus. And he shouldn't have done that. That would hurt him socially. That would hurt the community that he leads. He's not going to turn up at the temple and teach without having to face a nightmare scenario from disgruntled people saying, hey, who do you think you are falling at the feet of this controversial man that claims to be the Son of God? But see, when you have a need, that'll often push you to get desperate and push through some things. And his position said he shouldn't bow, but he still bowed. Nicodemus, you'll read about him in the Gospels as well. He basically held the same position in the Jewish community. When he wanted to talk to Jesus, he came at night. He came a bit more under the radar. Hey, what do I have to do to get to heaven? He says, you must be born again. But Jairus, he did it in front of a thronging multitude. He falls at the feet of Jesus, says, my daughter's going to die. And he pushed past his position. You know, I've discovered to stay in faith, we have to push past our positions too. And your position might not be a leader in the Jewish synagogue, but it may be you have to push through some pride, or you have to push through a bit of an inhibition that says, oh, I need to be reserved. And Aussies and British people, we can be a little bit reserved, but sometimes you've got to push through some stuff. I remember in my church, every Sunday, I'll get up and say to our church, hey, come on, let's give the Lord a shout of praise and get everyone fired up a little bit. And I've discovered that the shouters shout louder and the non-shouters just clap a bit harder. But I feel like, so I get into our church, I say, hey, half of you, I'm telling you, you got to shout today. You got to push past that inhibition. That's the thing that says, hey, I'm just chill. I'm just relaxed. Yeah, so some of us have to push through some stuff and not let our position as dad or husband or whoever we think we are. We got to come to God and put it all down and say, man, I'm going to get desperate, man. If I got to shout, I'm going to shout. If I got to clap, I'm going to clap. If I got to cry out to him, I got to cry out to him. If I have to pull over and say, God, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to pull my car over, whatever it may be. We got to push through some things. We got to push past ourselves. See, religion wants to tell you you can't dance, you can't shout, you got to stand there or sit there looking pious, formal, religious, and dead. But the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Some of us, we're stuck in our own construct of ourselves. I never want to get to, I want to, you know when you, anyway, Father help me, I've got five thoughts competing, they're fighting in my mouth. It'll just come out in tongues. Do you remember when you first got saved? Everything was exciting. That new song, you're like, that's the best song I've ever heard. That sermon, that is the best sermon I've ever heard. That usher on the door shakes your hand and says, welcome. And you're like, that's the best prophetic word I've ever had. You read the book of Acts and you see the shadows passing over people, raising them up. So you walk through Manchester holding a torch over your head, hoping, I'll just try and get my shadow on someone, get them healed. When did we get over getting saved? I want to be a new Christian still, because new Christians, they still believe everything that's in this. They read the book of Acts and go, okay, I want to pray until this place shakes. But what happens is we get in this thing for a while, don't we? And we go, oh, that's just zeal. Yes, it is zeal. And I pray that the zeal for the house of the Lord would still consume us. Man, I'm coming a bit undone this morning, because I got saved when I was six. That's only a few months back. I don't want to get over it. I still want to have that, wow, God's amazing. Oh, man, look what God's done. I don't want to get to a point where I'm in this for so long and someone comes up and says, I've got a word for you. All right. I want someone to come up, I've got a word for you. Prophesy in the name of Jesus. But somebody comes up, we got people in our church that when I'm in a grumpy mood, I avoid them, because if I tell them I'm not well, they'll try and lay hands on me. And sometimes I'm like, who do you think you are? Just let me be crook. Let me be grumpy. And I've got to push past that. No, find them. Get one of those prayer warriors to put their hand on your head. I want to be that guy. I don't want to sit back and go, I've been saved for a long time. I'm just going to sit back and chill. I still want to be down the front. I still want to jump in the house of God. I still want to shout. I still want to get happy. I don't... Whatever position I like to think I have, I hope that never stops me being hungry for God. I was in a meeting just the other day in Melbourne at Planet Shakers Conference, and there was this evangelist that is laying hands on people. They're falling out under the power of God. And I could see, I was sort of sitting here facing this way, and he was walking past. So I thought, if I stand this way, he can't get past without laying hands on me. So I just pulled out, I did this. And he gave me a smile like, I know what you're doing. He laid hands on me. Man, I hit the ground under the power of God. But you know, for me, I want to stay hungry. I don't want to be, I'm a new Christian. When did you get saved? I'm getting saved every minute of my life. I'm walking in the righteousness of God. He didn't let his position go. Excuse me, Jesus, nice to meet you. I'm a bit of a significant person in my community. My daughter's not, you know, it's actually a big honor for you to be invited to my house. Would you come? He just said, I need a miracle. I love that he was willing to do it. And the Bible says Jesus went with him. Faith will always, let me try that again. Jesus will always go where faith takes him. If there's faith, Jesus will follow faith. And so he had to push past his position. But then he had to wrestle with God's timing. There's Jesus on his way. And then the Bible says a woman with an issue of blood comes and touches the hem of the garment of Jesus. Jesus is on the way. Again, I've sort of half said it, but he would have been, okay, everything's all right. Just come on, let's get him home. Get him to the house. Only 200 meters to the house. And then this woman comes, touches the hem of the garment of Jesus. Jesus stops. Who touched me? Jairus is going. I wonder if when the disciples go, everyone's touching you. I wonder if they're trying to, Jesus, is there's a big need. Would you keep moving? He goes, no, somebody touch me. They're all touching. Everyone's touching you. We've got to get to Jairus' house. No, somebody touch me with faith because I felt power leave me. Who was it? And then the woman, she's like freaking out, maybe knowing that this ruler of the synagogue actually has the authority to deal with her for doing that legally. There's so much happening here. She's interrupted a miracle, and then they're going, just get there. You gotta get to Jairus' house, and he's stopping. No, let's have a testimony. What happened? Oh, daughter, your faith has made you well. And Jairus just wants Jesus to come, and she's getting this miracle, and Jairus is going, I don't know if you know what triage is. It's a French word, which means to sort by importance. You go to the hospital, if you've got an ingrown toenail or you severed your leg by walking on a rabbit trap, the toenail, you might have got there earlier, but if brother missing leg comes in, brother toenail's going to have to wait because that's more important. If you go in and you've got a little burn, yeah, they want to fix it, they want to dress it, but if somebody's having a heart attack or somebody's been in a serious situation, they're not going to go, look, I know you're having a heart attack, if you can just wait. This lady, she's been waiting a long time and we just need to sort out her problem. They go, which one is going to die without attention? And so in a hospital situation, the woman with the issue of blood, she can make an appointment that week. She can see Jesus later. This girl's at the point of death. But Jesus doesn't operate in our paradigm. He's not moved by urgency. He's moved by faith. And you might... And so let me say this. If you're dealing with something insignificant or significant, God's not looking at it, okay, I'm going to come back and sort out your car problem on Tuesday. Because right now, I got somebody dealing with something that's a major concern. So you wait, I'm going to deal with this first. No, he's just dealing with faith. And to him, he can meet any need. He doesn't run out of power. And so he's getting ready to do something right there for her. In terms of natural priorities, it's upside down. But the whole realm of faith is upside down. But this timing of God, there's more to it. It's not just, hey, why is she getting healed first? Imagine being him surviving that miracle. Just seeing her testify and at the same time being told his daughter's died. This might be raw, and I don't want to be, I'm not saying this just lightly, but what about one person celebrating a marriage, another person's walking through divorce? One person's believing God for a child, another person's having a baby shower. One person's dealing with sickness and the other person is getting up on Sunday testifying that God's healed them. What do we do in those times? I don't think we sit back and go, oh, well, that's it. God obviously cares about them more than me. I love that Jesus took time to say, your faith has made you whole. Hey, Jairus, you need to stay in faith. He's letting that testimony become a declaration that if he can do it for her, there's a miracle for you. And it doesn't always seem fair. That's why we've got to stay in faith. Faith doesn't always make sense, but faith trusts God. Faith believes that God is able to do exceeding abundant and above anything we can ask, think, or even imagine. I don't know about you, the circumstances might not make sense, but we serve a God who's never made sense, but we serve a God who's all-knowing, supernatural, omniscient, omnipresent, most high God, who cares about every need and walks with you. Trust him. You might be sitting here today and it's a hard day for you and it's a day of breakthrough for someone else. And I know that's a hard time to praise. I know it's not easy to praise when your miracle hasn't happened and everyone's rejoicing at somebody else's. But do you know what I try to do in those situations? I've walked through it. We've all walked through it. I say, God, if you can do it for them. God, if you can heal that situation. Oh, you're the same Jesus. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you can do it for them, you can do it for me. Come on. If there's anyone in here that still believes and trusts God, clap your hands and... Man... I know I'm yelling. Oh, I know I'm getting excited, but we serve a miracle Jesus. And I've come to Manchester this morning to remind you that he is alive. He's seated on the throne. There's nothing too difficult for God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, our God is an awesome God. It's God's timing. I'm nearly done. He had to survive somebody else's breakthrough and things that didn't make sense to protect that atmosphere of faith. But then he had a fourth thing that he had to survive. And that was a negative report. The Bible says, while Jesus was still speaking, servants from the house said, Master, stop troubling the teacher. Other translations, stop troubling the master. She's gone. I love that Jesus, he's celebrating one miracle, but he's so aware. He turns around. He didn't say, oh, no, they're wrong. But he simply said, don't be afraid. I don't know if he grabbed him. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Right there, Jesus gave him, it sounds nice. We say, don't be afraid, only believe. Amen. What a brutal ultimatum. You have a choice. You cannot do both. You cannot do this and be in faith. You got to choose. Are you going to be afraid or are you going to trust me here? So Jairus seemingly trusts him, but we know he does. See, if we try to stay in faith, then we have to doubt our doubts and go, no. He had two reports right there. He had the report from the house, the real report, the facts. But then he had the report. And in this case, he had a word from God. There will be times when our faith is tested. That are we going to trust what we're hearing in the natural? Or are we going to believe what God's word says in that situation? That's not an easy thing. It's easy when the stakes are low. Here, I don't know of a harder time to believe God than when you've been told the words that you were absolutely not believing could ever happen. Don't trouble the master. I just want to tell you, I'm a product of parents who made it their business to keep troubling the master. Who, when things seemed impossible, what are we going to do? Let's go trouble the master. He doesn't mind that kind of trouble. He's happy if it seems impossible. Keep troubling the master. Don't give up on the brink of a miracle. There's a report, the Bible says in Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? There will always be conflicting information. When Jesus says something, the devil will always say something. It's not going to happen. Why? Ah, no, that's not true. Pastor Glenn will get up and say, God wants to bless you, but you go, oh yeah, that's for somebody else. It's amazing how much faith we have for somebody else. But in this moment, he has a choice to make. And he makes a decision. I'm gonna believe God. You can't hold on to fear and faith at the same time. You have to make a choice. And he made that choice. And he says, come. So Jesus, he goes with him. He gets to the house. He brings with him Peter and he brings James and John. And so he's had to deal with position. He's had to push through crazy timing. He's had to push through a negative report. And now he's got a Jesus and Jairus. They've got to push through unbelief. They get to the house. Jesus says, She's not dead, she's sleeping. And they start ridiculing him. He's grieving, he's being laughed at. He's lost his church. Jesus is there and he puts everybody out. People are wailing. You go, well, where's your compassion, Jesus? They're devastated. He got rid of them. And it wasn't because he lacked compassion, but he knew emotion isn't what moves the hand of God. You might be here today going, well, I was in worship today. People are very emotional. We're not emotional here because we're trying to move the hand of God. We're emotional because the hand of God's moved us. And so he has touched our heart. There's joy, there's peace, there's life, there's victory. So it doesn't mean that emotion doesn't matter, but emotion doesn't get the breakthrough. Emotion is a response to the things God does when he touches our hearts and brings peace and joy. But in this story, he brings Peter, man of faith. He brings James, man of zeal. And he brings John, a man of depth in God, intimacy with God. And he brings him in this miracle room. Oh, you know, when I started preaching, I'd always preach, you know, surround yourselves with Peter, James's and John's. Because for some reason I was making myself the important part of that story. And then over time I realized, you know what, you can preach it that way. Not making me the important part of the story, but you can preach. Surround yourselves with faith people, and you should. But I jump into that story. I try to jump right into the text, you know, and go, I want to be the Peter, the James, and the John. So if Jesus is doing miracles, now Thomas was a good disciple, but if he had brought Thomas in, he's going, I doubt this is going to work. He didn't bring Judas. Judas would have stole their plasma TV. Peter, James, and John. Peter was the guy. I like Peter. He's just one of those people that no matter what happens, Peter's all in. All right, let's go. Walk on water, done. Walk on water, check. Then he brings James. Man, I've got zeal. Yeah, all right, let's go. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm up for this. You want people like that. You don't want someone going, let's see what he's got. Some of you come to church like that. We've got to squash our inner Thomas sometimes and say, God, you've got to do something in the realm of faith. He brings John. Sometimes you've got to leave doubt at the door. I want to be the faith person. I want to be the guy that Pastor Glenn can call because he's got this crazy idea. He's not even game to necessarily tell anyone that knows him too well from around here. So he just rings me. I want to be the guy that'll go, oh, that's terrific. Even if it goes down in flames, I'm with him. I'm all in. I want to be the kind of guy that somebody can ring and go, hey, I got a big decision to make. I don't know how this is going to happen. Without God, we're sunk. What do we do? Come on, let's believe God together. Let's go after it. I want to be the person that somebody rings when sickness hits their family and goes, hey, I've been told something terrible. I don't know what to do. I want to be the guy that goes, we're going to believe God. We're going to pray the prayer of faith. I can assure you, I'm a pastor. I don't do a hospital. I do hospital visits all the time, but I won't do a hospital visit and just pray some kind of, oh, Lord, look after them. I walk in there like I'm one of the medical practitioners. I put my credential, my Assemblies of God credential, on the dashboard and I park in the hospital workers' park. because I am a medical professional. I am there to carry out a service on behalf of the great physician. We pray. I said it the other night. I prayed for a guy in my church just about a month ago, and we prayed for him. Stage 4, multiple myeloma. I text his wife. She didn't even bother to text me. I text her, how's your husband? She writes back, oh, I meant to tell you, he's in remission. Thanks for that. Thanks for letting us know. Glad I could be a part of it. We see so many miracles. You know this atmosphere of faith. I just want to say this. Some of you walked in here today. You got stuff wrong with you don't even know about. And you just get in the presence of God. You just get sent into divine order and you walk out never even knowing what God just did in an atmosphere of faith. There's maybe something was going on in your mind. And the atmosphere of faith matters. In 2019, I felt a spirit of fear take a hold of my heart. It was out of nowhere. I was on a holiday and it just grabbed a hold of my heart. 2020 happened. And we all know that was 2020, 2021, 2022 were the longest year of all of our lives. It was crazy. And then I can tell you, I walked through the fire and I was brave. I kept pushing through, but I was fighting for my life. And Pastor Russell Evans, who's my pastor, and he had a guy come to his church, an evangelist by the name of Nathan Morris. And God spoke to me and said, you need to get on the plane. Don't worry about going to Sunday night church. Get on the plane, fly to Melbourne. God's going to do something. I went to the meeting. I came hungry. I wasn't coming as a pastor. I just came hungry. And I said to Pastor Russell, I said, I feel like God wants to do something in my heart. He never engineered anything. Nathan basically stopped ministering. And just as he went to leave, he goes, brother from Adelaide, lays his hands on me. The power of God touches me. I felt that thing just leave my life. And I want to tell you, I'm not an expert on anything. I just knew I had a challenge and I needed to get to an atmosphere of faith. You walk in here and you know, it's a bit alive. That's not hype, it's faith. You walked into this, it's a bit of a live wire. You walk into an atmosphere of faith, anything can happen. And tonight's the night of fire. We're going to go for the fire of the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching a message tonight on the Holy Ghost. I'm just taking all of my favorite things, putting them in a blender, I'm just believing we're just going to have toe tapping, Holy Ghost, shine Jesus, shine church tonight. So you've got to come. If you weren't planning to come, some of you are going to stay home and watch Dancing with the Stars, Antiques Roadshow, not tonight. But I'm believing today that you can't pray for faith. Because how does faith come? By hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But you can pray against unbelief. As a man came to Jesus, he said, help my unbelief. His son was demon-possessed. He didn't know what to do. And he said, Master, help my unbelief. I want to pray for people's unbelief. But when you're a new Christian, when you're young and you haven't been through a shellacking, you actually do believe, you know. But there's saints in here, you've been here a long time, and it's like the devil's taking the legs out from under you. And you know God can, but you're battling to believe that He will. And I feel like today's ministry time is to pray for people to believe again. So there's business people who have failed in business, and you know that there's a rumbling in your spirit with a fresh creative idea. But you're not terrified of the idea, you're terrified to believe again because you've been through such a tough time. There's people here, you've given up on callings of God because unbelief happened. See, when Jesus resurrected, you know the story? The Bible says he came to his disciples because they didn't all believe that he had risen. And the Bible says he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart. I've discovered when our hearts get hurt, our believer gets broken. I feel like God wants to heal some. I can't articulate it better than like a year five way of saying that, but I feel like some of your believers are broken. I don't know what it is, that this part of you that once upon a time was like, oh God, you can do anything. Now it's like, all right, God, if you see what happens. We don't operate in fate. We operate in faith. I feel the anointing of God. I even want to respond a bit differently. If I'm talking to you today, I'm not asking the whole church to stand. I'm just, if I'm talking to you about believing again, if that's you, why don't you just stand to your feet for 1 minute? Because I want you to take a step of faith. I admire you, brother. You're the first to stand. I don't have my glasses on, but I feel like God's doing something back there in you. I'm proud of you for it. I'm just believing God. God's going to come by His fire and anointing and reignite something in your spirit. Some of you, you've got pain in your body and you've just gone, that's that. Believe again. Trust God again. It's a new day in the name of Jesus. Can you lift your hands where you are, those that are standing? If you're near them, just stretch your hand towards them. Man, I feel God in the house. If you're watching on the internet, you stand. If you're driving your car, maybe don't stand. Just sit up a bit. There's people standing here, Father, that have been through incredible disappointment. The devil's done all he can. Lord, I pray, help people believe again. Lord, I'm not just saying this as a preacher who's breezing in and breezing out without sensitivity. There's parents here that haven't yet had their kids. Help them believe again. There's mums and dads with kids away from God. Help them believe again. Master, we're going to keep troubling you. You're able to do exceeding abundantly above anything we ask, think, or even imagine. Or there's those that may have let a little bit of discouragement just settle in a little too deep. Lord, I pray for every person standing. Help our unbelief. Help us go again. Give us second round faith. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.